Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It goes without saying you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi and this is Wing.
And I'm Wing.
This episode is about how to accept chaos in your life. And is that potentially a good thing? Is there benefits to living in chaos? We're talking about accepting your life as it truly is and yourself as you truly are. So I hope you find this at least interesting. I think we almost come across like preachers in this episode, but hopefully you're up for a bit of church today. So we're back,
like we never left.
I don't really know what to say, to be honest.
Yeah, what's new with you? What's going on with you?
Well, nothing really. I went to the British Museum yesterday. That was fun.
Oh, so you did. Saw all the stolen artifacts.
I saw all the stuff that we've stolen from other places. Actually, just on that topic of stolen things in the British Museum, like I was quite shocked, actually. Like, they have Cleopatra's mummy in there.
Oh, there's a multitude of things in there. You wouldn't believe it. But you should believe it.
But like, I was shocked by just
the extent,
almost the disrespect,
yeah,
of having that. Like, it's not in this giant shrine,
in this big 2022.
Like, it's not preserved in this way of like, you walk up, ah, here is Cleopatra's mummy, in the way that they intended for religious reasons. It's like, no, it's thrown in with all the other fucking mummies next to like, oh, here's a fucking pot.
It literally is. Here's a pot that we stole.
That we nicked. I was actually quite shocked. Like, all the statues, all of this stuff, there's bits of the fucking Parthenon in there. It feels outrageous. But to see a mummy, her literal body.
It is crazy.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, it is crazy.
The Queen of Egypt. Why is that in this room?
It
was shocking. Thank God the entry's free. We wouldn't want to be paying towards that. Fascinating, but wrong in every way.
Yeah, brilliant, but scary.
Honestly, scary. How are you?
Still COVID-y, but it's all good. Don't worry.
I feel like your energy is better.
Thank you.
Still feeling rough, I can tell.
I feel like shit. We've been talking for a bit now and I'm feeling a bit like hot.
I just thought that. I just went to the loo like in between our chat and this, and I just thought, I've pushed it too far, poor girl.
No,
poor girl.
No, I love it. I love to hear all the goss. Well, there's not really been any goss, don't worry.
Literally no gossip in my life. Just talking about the British Museum.
I'm also feel bad for you because I know you're cutting out all my coughing and stuff, which is just so annoying to listen to, so.
Not at all. I was kind of shocked when I re-listened to that, like editing the last one. I was like, God, she was so ill. I'm like, forced her to sit and talk.
I was cutting out
every cough. Like, God, why didn't I notice this at the time? Like, you'd be coughing your guts out, and then I'd be like, so.
Also, gaslighting everyone will listen and be like, she doesn't sound ill.
I know. I left two coughs in.
Just for good measure.
Because you would start the sentence, you'd be like, cough, cough, yeah, so. But, and I was like, oh, I can't cut that cough, so the cough's going in.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was perfect. I thought it's good for a non-gaslighting purpose. People will know she's ill.
Right. Yeah, builds character. Okay, well, can we talk about chaos and stuff?
Yeah.
Chaos is a ladder and all that shite.
Yeah.
I feel like, how are you feeling at the moment? Because I feel like at the moment I feel like I'm at a point where I'm having to accept that things don't always follow the order that you imagine them to be, or like that you've planned out on your Notion to be, and like life just doesn't follow your bullet journal.
Yeah. I wish it did though.
And I know that you love chaos as a word, and like,
I love chaos as a concept.
And who isn't feeling a bit lost? And like, I feel like as well, it's just, I think we need an episode every now and then just to say, if you are scrambling around on this earth maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're in your early 20s, maybe you're in your 40s, whatever, and you're looking around thinking, I do not have a stinking clue what the fuck is going on here, then don't worry, because I think that's just part of human nature, is feeling a bit lost, and you'd be surprised to know. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you loud and clear, everyone else is just as confused as you are.
So confused.
So confused.
So fucking confused.
And terrified.
It's funny as well, because there's this idea that there are two types of people. There are like the control freaks, the perfectionists, and then there's the people that are just like scrabbling around. I think it's actually, even if you don't identify as a control freak, like I've never really identified as a control freak.
Mm.
God, the amount of control freaking I'm doing. Like, I think we're all control freaks.
We're all control freaks.
The epitome of what is the most successful person on this planet that everyone would aspire to be is the biggest fucking control freak on the planet. So we're all kind of aspiring for this idea of like living this controlled and like plotted out life. Fuck it, it's pathetic.
It's just an illusion. The sooner we can let go of this weird illusion of control and like things going to plan, the better. The only thing that you can guarantee in life is that things are going to cycle through and change and be dynamic and fuck up and get better and get worse and everything at once. That's the only thing know for sure.
You've got that in the bank.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
The only thing that you know 100%, bet your life savings on it, that things will change.
Basically, the only thing you've got is that your life will be a series of changes that are out of your control, and at the end you die. That's it. That is literally the only thing. That is life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be amazing. That doesn't have to be this horrific thing. That the worst thing you can do is try and control the chaos, essentially. Well, if I just put that there and by 30 I'll have this, and if I just tidy my room enough, maybe I'll be happy. No, you won't. You might as well just fucking breathe into the chaos and love it.
Mm-hmm. What's one part of your life that you feel like you really try and control?
Oh my God, so many things. Shall I start us off with like a boring...
No, start us off with something boring. Is that a hypothetical question? No.
Well, it's kind of... I just feel like it's so... I mean, it's boring to me. The thing I try and control the most in my life is my weight.
Oh, right.
And, like, my food intake.
Right.
So just, like, boring.
Sorry to break. Yeah, I didn't intend on it going there, yeah.
But that's definitely, like, the thing I try and control the most in my life.
I think a lot of people relate to that.
So I'll skim over that. That's in the bank, try and control weight, blah, blah, blah. But also the thing I try and control is, like, time. Like, my time spent in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if I can just squeeze all of the productivity out of this day, then I'll be happy. But like, think about how you feel on a really productive day. Do you actually feel much worse than a day that you haven't been? Much better than on a day you have been? Realistically, oh, I don't know.
You're like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
You're like, yeah, I do feel a lot better, actually.
Sometimes you do. I don't know.
But I don't think it's that you've been productive in that day. I think it's the mindset that sometimes comes with productivity. Sometimes productivity comes with like a real stress and like guilt and shame and all of these things about not being good enough. But sometimes productivity, if you get into a flow state and you're in like kind of good mindset, it's not about the fact that you've produced a lot. It's just the fact that you feel good about the things that you have done, which makes you in turn feel good about yourself.
It's in the film Soul, we talk about this quite a lot, in the film Soul, Disney films on Disney Plus, I believe, there's like a state that's like you're in the zone. And I think that is where you should aspire to be, in the zone.
Where you want to be.
It's not about what you accomplished from learning the trumpet. It's when you're in the zone playing that trumpet.
And it's not the stress of, I need to be the best trumpeteer. I don't know the word for it, but it's trumpet. Yeah. But it's not about the thing of like, oh, my trumpet teacher said I'm not that good at trumpet this week. What for everything I know, everything I've ever desired is crumbling before my eyes. It's just about the peace that you feel when you're playing the trumpet.
When you're playing that trumpet.
Playing trumpet?
Playing the trumpet.
Playing the trumpet. Just what a bizarre phrase, hey? What a wonderful phrase.
Yeah, what do you think you try and control in your life? Or do you feel like you've got a control over anything?
I think I try and control the story of my life.
But oh my God.
The story that I tell myself, do you know what I mean? So for ages I was like, oh, the story that I'm telling myself is that this is very, what's her name? Oprah's mate. What's her name?
Gail.
No, the one who...
the amount that Gail has featured on this.
Brené Brown.
Brené Brown. Gail.
Not fucking shitty Gail, irrelevant Gail.
No one ever talks about Gail.
That's a complete joke. In a reference to a joke that we made in another episode.
In another episode, yeah.
Gail was obviously great. Anyway.
Poor Gail.
Don't take me out of context there, don't you dare.
I'm sending that straight to Gail.
It's a very Brené Brown thing of like, the story that I'm telling myself
yeah.
is that I am not in the headspace to record this episode today, so it's going to come out wrong and everyone's going to hate me and it was all going to go wrong and blah, blah, blah. I feel like the story that I had for a while in my mind, it's kind of just the plan that I had, was over Christmas, I'm going to have this time off and then like we're going to have the best new year. Like I'm going to do this and like really chill. And then I got COVID and I haven't been able to do all of it. And like I would normally, this would be my planning time. I feel like I really,
you love
the
January.
Story that I tell myself is that I thrive at the new year because I just get to that close of the year and I'm so desperate for the fresh start. And when it comes, I'm just liberated and blah, 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 which is an amazing story to tell yourself, apart from the times when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think something that I'm, or just where I'm at, is that I've had to just accept that that's not where I'm at right now. And like, I can't sit and do all the things that I wanted to do and like start my year off with this crazy bang of like amazing, like blah, 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 because I'm just gonna make myself more ill and I'm just gonna prolong this like frustration that I'm having over like not having the energy that I want to have or like not having my voice in the same way. But accepting when things go wrong is kind of a muscle, I think, that you have to like stretch and work at.
I think that is so everything. The idea of controlling the narrative, which I think is a title from a Succession episode, controlling the narrative, I think,
mm-hmm.
That I love, because I think I read a quote about this. I don't know who it was, but it was about how women have trained themselves to be like these perfect storytellers. Like I am, for example, I am the pretty one, I am the popular one, I'm the clever one,
yeah.
I am a perfectionist, I'm a morning person, all of these things. Women really have to put themselves in these boxes in order to make themselves palatable to the world. We've been trained to do that, and it's so difficult to even get out of that in like a micro way. And even people as a whole, like, I'm having a bad day. It's like, oh, you like, well, you had, did you have a bad hour?
Yeah, just your porridge wasn't as good as it was yesterday. Doesn't literally mean your whole day is doomed.
Also, in a world that's like obsessed with media and storytelling, I think that is so something that we all do. Like, how often do you like perform for a vlogging camera that isn't there?
Oh,
that you're walking around your house like, so yesterday I had the most crazy day.
Don't get me started.
I know.
To take us on the same note but in a different angle, because it reminds me of this. So somebody said, this is a message that we got, someone said, we often, and I just thought it was great, we often turn chaos into a project to be fixed instead of embracing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people embrace chaos so much that they fucking hell. Sometimes people embrace chaos so much that they make it into an aesthetic with sparkles around it.
I saw this. I really like this one.
I just thought, what a clever angle you've brought to our otherwise uninteresting and uninspired podcast.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for your input. You've saved the day.
But what, like, I've never really thought about that, but it's really true that I feel like we can never really, how often do we ever just find the sweet spot on the balance of life, to be honest? It's like, oh, I'm at this point where I just have to like embrace all the chaos. I'm embracing it. I'm just embracing it. It's like, are you though? Because it seems like it's bugging you right now. It seems like the chaos is actually really trying to get to you. You seem like you're rejecting it.
You're fighting it with all of your might.
Yeah. Yeah. From where I'm stood, like, you know, no harm meant, but
I just love this crazy life. I love this crazy life, but you're saying that through gritted teeth and it's scary.
Yeah.
Scaring me.
You're crying, you're screaming at me.
There's definitely a romanticized idea of chaos, which I do kind of love, but also I think it's not helpful. So when I hear of like an aestheticized chaos, I go to like thinking about like Effie from Skins back in the day, like sort of you're rolling out of bed, you've got the last night's makeup on,
your messy Kate Moss,
yeah, you smoke a cigarette and a black coffee for breakfast, and then you like go to your lecture, you're fucking knackered, God knows where you'll be this evening. Like sort of that romanticized version of a chaotic messy life, but through the kind of lens of the world's most stunning person, and I think actually what chaos looks like isn't actually very glamorous at all, and it's kind of is everything going wrong, is everything going not to plan?
Yeah,
actually embracing, fuck, nothing went to plan, nothing I'm doing looks good, I don't look like fucking Effie from Skins, I look like a fucking mess right now.
Yeah, you needed 2 A's and a B to get into your uni, you got 1 A and 2 B's, things didn't go to plan, no one's looking at you thinking, God, she's so glamorous.
It's not stunning.
They're you know, probably no one knows because you didn't tell anybody because you're so embarrassed, you've got so much shame about it. Yeah, because for some reason it's like a personal, the inevitability of things going wrong doesn't click in our tiny minds and we take it as a personal failure.
There's that quote that I think I spoke about in a few episodes ago, and it's from that Eckhart Tolle book A New Earth, that I read fucking months ago, but it was like the least stable thing in the world is what's going to happen to you. The one thing you can't predict is what's going to happen to you in life.
Yeah.
You have no control over that. So whatever you think your plan is now, throw that in the fucking bin because it's not going to happen. Could happen, could not happen. Flip a coin. No one fucking knows. The only thing you can count on is that you don't know what's going to happen. So what is the fucking obsession with trying to plot out every detail of your day, of your life, or who you are and who you want to be?
And... Well, that's the thing. It's like, you've done the route of, let me try and control it. Let me do everything I can to make sure things follow my order and go and do this. And I can do this and I can go to that union. I can meet that person. I'll probably meet my fucking boyfriend there. We'll get married. I'll have a baby with him and like blah, 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 blah. And like all of these things. That doesn't work. That for definite does not work. Setting a clear plan and hoping that it follows doesn't work. You know that for sure. So why don't we try the alternative of, I can get really good at accepting and going with the flow, because that could work.
It's honestly the only option you have.
Yeah, doesn't really seem like a sizable option to me though.
Yeah.
I'm like, get a grip, be realistic. I'm not gonna get good at accepting things, get a grip.
But it's weird,
like,
though.
That is so outlandish.
It's weird to me though, because that seems so obvious.
Yeah, of course.
Like, when you haven't taken in society's kind of impacts and all of this stuff of like perfectionism being, and like, of just bullshit basically, when you look at the two mindsets you can have, you can either be like trying to force things into your specific point of view where you don't really know what's best for you anyway, or you can just take every moment as it comes, as what is actually happening. Basically, you can view your life as an illusion or as the reality. So, okay, well, view the fucking reality then, what's actually happening, not this weird fictional version where you're going out with Zac Efron.
Or like as a closed box or an opportunity.
It's the thing of trying to fit, what is it, a square peg in a round hole?
Yeah.
It's like your life, it's going to look like this and you're trying to force it to look like this. It's like, no, that's someone else's life. Like, you saw that on Sex and the City. That's not actually how your life's going
to
go.
Yeah, you have to let it go. Because also things won't always, it's not even like, oh, there's like a, well, maybe this is your belief and sometimes it's my belief as well, that like, oh, everything works out for the better anyway. It's like, no, not necessarily. Like, there could have been better parallel lives that you were way happier and blah, 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 blah. But you're in this one. The one that you're in right now is going to carry on, fingers crossed. And you can just go with it and keep learning and like experiencing new things, or you can, yeah, try and fit it into a mold that it's never going to fit into.
Your vision of how you think your life should look, with what influences, it's like, what?
That just holds you back though. It makes you, it's the weird, like, we've got this weird misconception of like, oh, but if I cling to this thing that I want, or this thing that I think I need, and I can make that happen, it will make me successful, it will make me happy, it will make me have a better life. But clinging to that one strict idea just holds you back from the success or the happiness or the better life that you could have, but you can't, you refuse to see it basically.
Because most of the good things you're going to have in life, you can't even imagine them yet.
No.
You can't even imagine them yet.
No, you've got no idea, guys. No idea.
So you're limiting yourself then, because your idea of what's going to make you happy is, I'm going to be a top lawyer. I'm going to be a top trumpeter. And you don't realise that if you just did whatever you want to do and not be a play the fucking trumpet, this is an anti-trumpet podcast, you might have a whole fucking range of things that you haven't even imagined yet. But you're so... it's a blinkered fucking horse, a fucking horse that has those blinkers on. Shy horse?
Yeah.
Shyer horse?
Yeah, you've got your blinkers on, yeah, yeah.
You're not looking, like, you're only looking at the thing. There's a whole fucking world around you.
Yeah, hello, cooey, hello.
Bonjour, look around. So in that idea of trying to force things and control things, and that maybe this idea of like having a nice ordered structured life isn't potentially the most natural thing you can do, I liked this answer. They said, the more chaotic I feel, the more chaotic I am, the more alive I feel. Control is nice, but it feels like it's not our true essence. And I think that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, whether control sometimes feels nice when you force something, you forced your square peg into a round hole and it feels good that you managed to, like, okay, yeah, I did it, tick. I do feel like what feels most natural is this idea of going with the flow, and not, oh, chaos is in, like, the wind is in my hair and I'm crazy, 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 crazy girl.
I'm fucking crazy, but I'm free.
That's what I was trying to do, but I said wind in my hair and I'm crazy, crazy girl. But what I was thinking of was, I'm crazy, but I'm free. That's what I was thinking of.
I'm fucking crazy,
but I am free. I do feel like it feels like our true essence, or like the purpose of being here, or what we're supposed to do, or what is natural.
Can you give me an example?
I think the example is taking each day as exactly what that day offers.
Mm.
Like, you step out of your day, it's raining.
Yeah.
That's okay. Rather than, oh, it's raining on my wedding day.
You could have dressed for rain, or you forced yourself to wear something just because you wanted to wear it, and now your outfit is ruined anyway.
Yeah. Or like you've prepared a speech to give the boy who cheated on you, your ex-boyfriend who cheated on you. I want to give you this exact amazing speech where I come across like a fucking genius and you come across like an idiot, and you eat your words and you will rue the day. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever we do in our heads when we're trying to control a narrative or like a thing in our lives, and you want to be the winner.
Mm.
Going into that interaction as you, as a human being, and not trying to force whatever that conversation is going to be, and just going in with the chaos of whatever's going to happen. You're going to cry, you're going to look like a fucking idiot, whatever, you're going to trip over all of the shit, you're going to stumble, you might say some good points, whatever, he's going to say things you didn't expect, blah blah blah. But going in as the chaotic, raw version of yourself in every moment of every day, or aiming for towards that, I do feel like that feels very natural, rather than going with a script or going with like a need to control everything.
Mm-hmm. Love it. You know what it kind of reminds me of? This phrase, which sounds rude, but I want to appropriate this phrase. I want to reclaim this phrase and turn it into something beautiful.
Political.
Yeah, because that was a cute little laugh, a little squeak.
Was it?
Yeah, I really heard you go.
Really horrible.
Yeah, no, it's nice. There's a phrase that I always want to say because it's in essence, it's exactly what I mean, but the actual wording of it is so rude. I know I need to say it to myself all the time, but kind of what we were talking about is like just the energy of taking a step back. And the phrase that comes to mind is get a grip.
Yeah.
But sometimes,
I think I need that.
You need to get a grip.
I need someone to follow me around all day, just over my shoulder, just whispering my ear, get a grip.
Get a grip.
Every few minutes, get a grip.
Because sometimes it's like you lose your grip, and it's kind of just losing perspective, or like rushing through things, or like catastrophizing it and taking it to the worst thing in your mind, rather than taking a step back, assessing the situation, thinking of like, okay, what resources do I have? Like, what options do I have? Like, I could go through clearing. I really don't want to. I've had it in my mind that I don't want to be the kid who goes through clearing to go to university. Clearing in the UK is like this thing where, like, if for whatever reason on like your results day you cannot get into the university that you wanted to originally go to, there's this list of universities and like options and courses that you can go into with your grades, basically just opportunities. But for some reason clearing is the worst thing that could happen to you, and blah blah blah. It's really not, if you take the ego out and just get a grip for a moment.
Literally 100%.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Which is also like, don't undermine the way that you feel. You feel the way that you feel. let yourself feel the way that you feel. Just take the shame out of it and just let it be.
Preaching.
How are you moving forward? Like, because you're gonna carry on. You're gonna move, basically. Do you want to move forward, or do you just want to kind of bury yourself under the dirt?
Out of shame.
Because you can't stay here.
Yeah.
The earth is going to continue to turn. The world is still spinning. Next week is coming. So you can't stay here. Where are you going? Are you moving forward, or are you burying your head in the sand?
I remember being told this by my dad.
I was going to say a Star Wars thing. I was going to say, I am your father, but I'm not doing two Star Wars episodes in a row.
I was quite embarrassed by how Star Wars heavy I came across in the last ep. The fact that
by your outburst. No, I'm joking.
Was talking about the shoes, I don't love Star Wars, and then the book I brought up was Carrie Fisher's autobiography. When I was editing that, I was like, you are an idiot.
Book of the year.
You're an idiot.
It did make me laugh. It's funny.
But the thing that my dad always says, he always like says to me, a bit rude, but he always says to me, you're quite full of shit. Like, as a person, you're full of shit. And he was saying, you need to like drop that, which is essentially the narrative. I'm full of shitty narratives about myself and shitty kind of, if you do this, then you're good. If you do this, then you're bad. You're full of shit.
And to a third party, it's like, where you got that from? Who told you that?
Yeah, it's like, why do you do things in a very specific way sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just relax into, basically stop being such a control freak. And he was saying, he always says, time is going to keep passing. Like, whether you let go of the shit or whether you embrace the shit or whatever you do and try and fucking force the shit.
Yeah.
Time is just going to keep going. Before you know it, you're 80 years old. You're still carrying a bag of shit around. What are you doing?
Holy shit.
You don't want to be carrying a bag of dog shit around. So you have to drop the shit.
You definitely don't.
No.
Would you say, like, would you tell the story of yourself? Like, have you ever told this story to yourself? But would you describe yourself now or like growing up as stubborn?
I don't like stubborn people, so no.
I didn't ask you if you like stubborn people.
No.
No?
I think I have a bit of an issue with stubbornness.
Okay.
So I think I tell the opposite story.
Right.
I think I tell the story that I am not stubborn.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't true. I think I can be stubborn.
Well, humans, anyone's stubborn sometimes.
Yeah, human being.
Yeah.
But I think the story I would tell wouldn't so much be that I am stubborn. I think the story I would tell myself,
you don't like stubborn,
is that I find stubborn people irritating. Because I actually think stubborn people are quite insecure, and that it's like, you're not, I think the people that say, oh, I'm just so stubborn,
so it's a weakness to be stubborn.
I think it's almost like they think it is a strength, but actually it's like, oh, fucking let go.
I remember you saying that about pride as well. Someone being like, oh, I'm just a proud person. Like, I couldn't do that. I've just got too much pride to do that. And you were like, it's actually insecurity. Yeah.
Totally. I find it funny when people say, oh, I've just got so much pride. It's like, you're not proud. You're fucking terrified.
But don't you think, and I'm not just saying this about you, I'm saying this about myself and everyone, that when you see those things that you see, sometimes you see things and it is just a projection. It's like, you know that your pride is an insecurity. I agree with you wholeheartedly, by the way.
100%. But I think the emotion of, oh, I'm not going to text him, I don't know why I'm giving boy analogies, but I'm not going to text my fucking love interest because he didn't reply to me and I'm too proud. Mm. Like, no, you're just so scared.
Mm.
And totally, that's because I felt it too.
I agree.
But I do think there's the idea of I'm too proud or I'm just stubborn. It's like, you're not stubborn, you're a spoiled little brat.
Whoa!
I'm joking. I'm fully joking. But I don't necessarily love stubbornness.
But I kind of think a lot of people that think they're stubborn, I definitely grew up very stubborn, I think.
Really? In what way?
Well, I was going to say, I kind of feel like it, I think it's like, I don't think other people would have said it, really, because I would have been on my people-pleasing bullshit on the outside world. But my inside world is the control freak thing, but it's also like, I think a part of it is it's kind of knowing who you are, or like having a strong sense of self in a way, even though it's also like very fragile in that you need to go think a certain way and blah, 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 blah. Because I think I'm a very compromising person.
You're a nice person.
Yeah. Maybe too much so. Yeah. But I definitely think people who lean into, or people who have been stubborn, there's can also be shreds of like, no, they want things for themselves. And like,
okay, I like
who are
that.
You to back them down? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, let them take up that space.
I like that. I think more when I've encountered people that say, I'm stubborn.
I agree, though. It's not a good trait, is it?
I would have alarm bells ringing of like...
Well, it's not a good introduction, is it? Hi, I'm Wing from Seven Wing. I'm stubborn. It's
quite stubborn. But I think people say it like... Oh, look, you're just like your mother, aren't you, little stubborn girl? Like, it's kind of almost seen as quite a good thing in, like, again, like a sense of self-assuredness.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily see that. I do see it as a stubborn. It's almost like it's the square peg round hole. It's like,
let it go.
Oh, but why do you have chill out a little bit?
Yeah.
I do get it as like, it's a confidence to know what you want, but I almost think they don't really know what they want.
Totally. I agree. You two things, you know, fascinating. Genuinely though, I do find that interesting. I would love to know if people consider themselves, or like, did I think it's interesting to think about, did you consider yourself to be a stubborn child?
A stubborn child.
That I think is interesting.
I just think it's not a word I don't think I really say it very often, stubborn.
No, but I'm really intrigued that when I said blah 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 stubborn, you were like, oh, I don't like stubborn people.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just interesting, isn't it? Like, the generally speaking, we all grow up wanting to be good and not wanting to be bad within reason. But it's interesting the ways that like certain words or certain traits can like, I really don't want to be seen as selfish.
Totally.
I don't want to be seen as selfish. Whereas someone else would be like, oh, I don't really care about being selfish. Like, sometimes I have to be selfish to get things done and better my life, you know? Like, it's interesting, isn't it? What the ones, because it just projects, I think, your relationships and the things that you saw growing up.
Because also, I see the case for selfishness. And also, I do see the case for stubbornness and pride. I see the case, totally.
Mm.
It just depends. It depends on also who you know. Like, when I think of the stubborn children I know when I was a child, I wouldn't necessarily be keen to put myself in that box. But it just depends if you knew someone that was stubborn and was like, they knew what they wanted, all this stuff.
I would say like, my nan is super stubborn and she's literally best person alive. Like,
so that makes sense.
My queen, my country, my life. Very stubborn lady, but also like, whatever. But like, that her stubbornness isn't always a good thing, obviously. It's not a great trait.
What is she stubborn about? Like, the way I see stubborn is almost like, they always have to have their coffee at the same time every day. And it's like, well, do you want to have it? And then it's like, no, we have coffee at 11.
No. She's more so like unwavering in her opinions.
Okay.
And like, I mean, it's funny to talk about, sorry, Nan, just like, she's got no clue. She thinks I'm talking about her on a radio show. That's her understanding of what this podcast is. And she knows it went big in Ireland. She's really happy about that.
A radio show.
How else do you describe it?
I haven't even, like, I can't even try and explain this to my grandparents. Like,
you haven't broached the topic. No, it's hard, isn't it? She would be the kind of person that, well, even that just was wrong to say, because it's like, how dare I put her in a box, first of all. But just speaking loosely, take me with a pinch of salt, she would be the kind of person to be like, I always knew he was trouble and no one believed me.
Oh, I agree with her.
And now it's been revealed he was trouble. Stunning. Yeah, and that sort of thing.
That's a great trait, I think, to know what you thought and say it fully.
And kind of like, the room could all be saying, he's lovely, he's great, he really charmed me. And she'd be going, oh, I think you're all fucking idiots.
Yeah, and she's fucking right, because I know he's a snake.
And maybe she ends up being right, maybe she ends up being wrong, like, whatever. But she won't back down about certain things.
Well, I do like that. I like that as a trait.
But sometimes it's like, Jesus, now I'm back down. Fucking hell. And sometimes she does. But like, do you get what I mean?
I mean, you've won me over with her.
But you could call it stubborn. You could just say, no, like, she's very headstrong in a good way. And sometimes she can be a little bit stubborn, you know, like if you wanted to go in a kind of semantics kind of way. But she's not having coffee at the same time every day. And that sort of thing.
See, I think it just depends on, I don't know, I have a real relationship to the word stubborn particularly. It's like, for example, the word like, I don't know, headstrong. I'm obsessed. Obsessed.
Love it. Yeah, of course.
Only thing I wish for anyone is that they're headstrong.
Yeah.
But stubborn, I almost think gives me like
bad vibes.
Just
red flag.
Just,
sorry, granny.
Fucking stubborn. Like, why are you so attached? Why are you so attached to whatever?
Definitely. Yeah.
Why are we talking about stubbornness? What was the catalyst for that?
Basically, it's just like being attached to an idea of something when you could just let it go. But that's kind of impossible. Just let it go. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. How?
How dare you? How dare you?
I think also why I bring up coffee at the same time every day, because in the idea of how do you let it go, my grandparents have their coffee at the same time every day. They have very much, they have their breakfast at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
They have kind of 11s, which they call coffee break.
Lovely.
Like kind of a coffee time. And you have to have that at like 11. Then lunch is like 12:30. Then like a tea. They have it very specific timings, and that is one of those things that you cannot shift it with them.
I have that with my grandparents too, on my other side. I can't call them after, well, I won't call them after a certain time, because I know they'll be like picking time difference, they'll be picking olives or out, or they'll be asleep. It's like, it's not gonna work. I need to call them at 7 a.m my time, otherwise we're not speaking.
Yeah, it's just funny, like, because that's one of those things where it's like, I love the routine, I love the vibes, but I also hope that I'm not so fixed in my schedule my whole life. I hope that I can at 70 years old be like, oh, I'm actually just gonna fucking take a holiday. It doesn't matter if they don't have the right biscuits at coffee break.
Yeah, I agree. I also, it's interesting to think about if we make it, I hope we do, our generation, like in an older age, I wonder what we'll all be like socially. But also I think there's part of it is interesting in the sense that I wonder if we all just want to be like kind of casual, not casual, but just like we want to be free or whatever when we're kind of 70, because it's the glamorization of youth, and it's like, oh, I'm not gonna get old, do you know what I mean? I'll dye my hair pink, I'll be like a cool grandma.
Totally. Well, it's also the idea of feeling restricted now, that it's like, well, when I'm 70, I'm not gonna be restricted, of course I'm gonna be free then. But it's this weird idea of like, you're not even fucking living like that now.
Well, you're gonna have arthritis, so I'd like to see you go on your little trip then, honey. It's not gonna happen.
Exactly. Well, it's a capitalist way of thinking that you'll work throughout your youth so that you'll be free in your 70s, but actually
save it. Yeah, don't have fun now, don't enjoy your life now.
But what are you working for? A Bourbon biscuit at 11 a.m.
yeah,
every day at the same time.
Yeah,
that's what you're working towards. So you have, of course you have this idea, of course I'm going to be fucking trekking up Kilimanjaro, of course you have this idea. No, you're not. No, you're not, because you're not doing it now.
What do you think you're good at, like, is there something you've let go, or like you're good at accepting, like if it comes out, it's like, that's not an issue, I'm good at that. Do you know what I mean?
Let me think.
You know, some people, the story is I'm not good at change, or the story is I'm great at change, or I love change, or something like that.
As in something that I've got better at?
Yeah, whatever.
Like, as in,
whatever you want to share in your space is more than welcome, Persephone.
Thank you. Now I shall recite the poem of...
Well, in that case, let's talk about Star Wars.
Revenge of the Sith. It opens... to a black screen, stars. A ship emerges from the left. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It's so bad.
I don't know. I think I've got a lot better with, like, it's funny because maybe it is even like a stubborn thing, but like dropping the script. I think in conversations I used to be a lot more like, I'm going to assert who I am. Like, I need to show you through this who I am, what I stand for. Like, I need to be the showstopper, almost.
Playing cards, basically.
Yeah, fucking reverse Uno carding them. And
with an expectation of, yeah, exactly. It's like, I will play how was work, which implies that I am this kind of person and win me X, Y, and Z points.
And trying to project an image and all of this stuff, but I think I'm so much... it is literally the relaxing into it's self-acceptance, relinquishing all control, trusting the time of life or whatever, but trusting the timing of that conversation, that interaction, your day, all of this stuff. But being more like willing to shift and more willing to take the flow of what's happening and reacting as I would react, not how I want myself to react when I pre-imagine the conversation earlier that day.
How do you deal with being embarrassed?
Oh my God, I'm embarrassed my whole life. I'm so embarrassing.
Same.
I'm so embarrassing. I literally live in embarrassment. Do you deal well with it?
No.
I hate it.
You know what? Sometimes the times when, like, I think it is also shame. I remember years ago now, I was with my friends, and one of my friends was like, the worst thing I've felt is like shame. Like, I find that
a bad emotion.
Feeling like really is the biggest emotion. It's like, blah, blah. And I was like, God, I don't feel shame. Like, what the hell? Shit. Like,
yeah.
Shame. Wow. I'm not crippled by shame. What the fuck? But I think now, I think I'm crippled is probably, I shouldn't say that, but like I deal very badly with being embarrassed. Like I feel quite humiliated a lot, and that is essentially shame.
Yeah.
Because when I'm up at night and I can't sleep, I go straight to shame.
Montage of embarrassing moments.
Yeah, embarrassing stuff. I have to remind myself, it's like, it's not that embarrassing. Like, no one fucking cares. Like, it might be a bit silly or, like, a bit funny, but no one fucking gives a shit about you. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are a speck in the lives of these people. They do not give a shit about you. This is what I have to think.
And most likely they're embarrassed. It's funny that you bring this up because I was driving around recently and I was thinking to myself, why are all these embarrassing moments like resurfacing for me?
Oh, it's so bad.
I'm having like a lot of...
No, same.
They're resurfacing like things same. I did years ago. That I'm yes. like, oh my God. Oh my God, yeah. I'm actually nearly going to be sick. Like, I don't know what happened.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I live in fear of it coming, people bringing things up and things same. Like that. Do you? Yeah, okay. Especially with the podcast now, I'm like...
Oh,
God.
It's so embarrassing. But just like things I said when I was like 19 and stuff, it's like, oh my God, you can never have another human interaction again.
It's like, I can't live. I can't go on.
You are not fit for human consumption.
Yeah.
You are mortifying.
No. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, you've hit the limit of embarrassment points. You've hit the limit. You need to go.
So cringe.
Most people don't hit that limit until they're like 99, if that. No, you hit the limit when you were 17. You got to go. It's so bad, but it's kind of, you just need to get a grip, basically.
It's so hard though, because when you're replaying it and you like, you can feel yourself going red and you're like, oh, like being sick at what you did.
I hate the thought that we've just brought everyone to, like, we're all thinking of something now, aren't we?
But of like our embarrassing moments.
Yeah. But what I, no one cares. And also the people who do care, it's just their insecurity. I know that sounds really like, oh, they're just bullying you because they're insecure or whatever. But it is true. And it is kind of, I think people who carry a righteousness about them and like to point a finger.
Well, people that never do anything embarrassing. Not someone I'd want to be friends with.
But they do. They do things embarrassing. They just have no compassion.
Yeah, totally.
And they're so concerned with like projecting the certain image of themselves that they want to be seen correcting everyone else. But it's like, you are no authority. We are all embarrassing little weak
weasels,
fucking scum of the earth people. Yeah, because embarrassment, I think, is just things not going to plan.
Ooh,
do you not think?
Yeah,
it completely is. It's like you thought you were going to walk in and everyone's going to turn around and say, "Oh my God, she looks amazing in that dress." Your Hermione moment at the disco,
and you tripped,
and you actually had toilet roll stuck to your shoe. How embarrassing! It's like it just didn't go to plan, but it is what it is. Like you've actually just been gifted from the universe a funny story to talk about with your mates when you're 50, but you can't see it as that. You see it as like, you need to die now. Or like, oh, you said that embarrassing thing when you were 19 and like three people remember it and like it might come back up and haunt you, haha. But it's like you've actually just been gifted that lesson of you don't feel that way anymore.
I think there are two forms of embarrassment. There are potentially more. There's one that is like embarrassing in the moment, and that's a thing not going to plan. And there's also this version where it's something that you didn't find embarrassing at the time, but now you look back on and you're like,
now
oh
you see it
my
clearly.
God. Because that's not necessarily not going to plan, but it's it not fitting with the version of you that you see yourself as now.
Exactly. It's the plan that you have now.
So it's mortifying to look back and be like, why did you do that?
It's this box trying to fit into a circle.
Or like, who was that?
Yeah.
Like, why would you say that? Why would you do that?
Oh, it's bad, isn't it?
Why would you wear that? All of this stuff. It's like, it's more embarrassing that I wasn't embarrassed then.
It's, what sense is it being embarrassed of growth?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Makes no sense to be embarrassed about growing and changing and learning and like hopefully being a better person that like wouldn't say that or wouldn't do that or like whatever, for like those sorts of things. Not like, oh, you've grown, you wouldn't walk into the disco with toilet roll anymore. Not like that, but like the thing that you said when you were 19 or whatever, like the everyone knew, I don't know what I keep saying, like you like this boy and blah blah blah.
Yeah
But that sort of thing, it's like
you kind of did a Harry, you looked at Cho Chang across the Great Hall and water came out of your mouth.
Yeah, you spat your water out.
Really embarrassing. But also, yeah, he was liking Cho Chang, he was allowed to.
Yeah, really embarrassing. But also, like, you wouldn't run around being like that. You've grown. And I think because we've all got a problem with us, we all carry so much shame that when we see that someone used to be quote unquote a bad person, it's like, whatever. Do you get what I mean?
Totally. It makes so much sense. I love that, that embarrassment is just things not going to plan. Embarrassment is just a form of trying to force yourself into this ordered way of life.
Rigid way, yeah.
No, not going to happen.
Not going to happen, mate.
Not going to happen.
I love this message somebody said. I feel like when I'm in a time of chaos, it feels awful and I feel like I'm drowning. But I look back at those times with the fondest memories for some reason, maybe because I'm so busy and I feel like I have a purpose in life.
Mm.
I actually think, not that I disagree, but I also think it's that in those times where you feel like you're drowning, you let go of any expectation because you're like, oh, I'm just drowning right now. Like, fuck it, whatever.
Ooh.
And you're not putting the expectation on it. So you just give in and you're like, oh, fuck, this is going to be shit anyway. And then you end up having a good time or whatever. We always have this where it's like when one of us is ill or like things aren't going right and we're going to record, we're like, oh, fucking hell, like, let's do this. And then we end up loving the episode because
you relinquish all control.
We go into it thinking, shit, I'm going to do a shit episode. It's going to go bad. Everyone's going to hate me, blah, blah, blah. And because you go in with the expectation of, I'm a piece of shit. This is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be shit and just see what happens. You end up, it's kind of like you have nights out like that where you think you're going to have a great night out, you have a terrible night out, or you think because you've put all the expectation, or you think you're going to have a terrible time, you end up having a really fun, weird time because you didn't have any expectation.
It's kind of famously why New Year's Eve is always a bit of a letdown in the discourse about New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, so New Year's Eve, we need to have a plan. And then it's like, oh, it was shit. Because you've built it up to this like insane expectation.
It's impossible to live up to.
But if you just suddenly, you've just come back from work, you've got greasy hair, your friend says, oh, should we go out? You don't even wash your hair, you just go out in your jeans, whatever you're wearing. It's always the most fun thing because it's like, oh, I went out with my expectations being rock bottom.
Yeah.
And it's always just a bizarre thing.
You end up taking it for what it was rather than
trying to force it.
What it was, yeah, and trying to force it into something else.
I think that's so true.
Because there's nothing wrong with circles or squares, but they are what they are.
A circle is not a square, and a square is not a circle.
A circle isn't a square, no. Square isn't a circle. It's just not.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean they're bad. They just are what they are. So just let it motherfucking be.
Let it be. And also it's like, you are what you are.
Exactly.
Like, this is the thing with, it's not only trying to control your life, but it's trying to control you. It's like, it's not only the order of, oh, if I spend my morning like this, then I'll feel like this. It's like, if I become this, then I will be this. It's like, maybe you are just a square.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're a square. You're not going to be a circle. And the circle is never going to be a square.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
And if you were a circle, you'd be thinking, God, look at all those squares. I wish I was a square.
Neither is better than the other.
No.
You've got an unconscious bias against yourself. Do we need to scream it?
Honestly, burn it onto your skin. It's true.
You have, what is it, a bias against yourself.
Yeah.
Revolutionary, I think, that. To me anyway, I was quite shocked by that.
It is, though. It is. Because you know what it does? It pulls you in, and you know what it does? It's basically saying, get a grip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, why is it so rude? But it's so good, guys. Like, I want to say it to everyone and myself.
Do you remember I used to have it was my wallpaper, my phone wallpaper, when we lived together.
Yeah.
I used to have a quote on my wallpaper that said, let go or be dragged. Mm-hmm. And I remember my friend saying, like, that's quite aggressive, really, for a phone wallpaper. And I was like, no, it's what I need. Let go.
Yeah, or be dragged.
Or you will be dragged through this life.
Kicking and screaming.
Let go. Let go or be dragged. Time is passing. You're full of shit and time is passing.
Mm.
Let go of the shit or you'll be dragging a bag of shit to your grave.
God.
And you will.
Yeah. No, it is true. Okay,
but then
so
how
what...
do you do that?
Yeah, I was just about to say, how do you do that? How do you do that genuinely? Like, if you caught yourself in a thing where you're like, on your best days, do you know where you're good at it? Not where it happens and you're being dragged and you can't, and you know you're being dragged and you're just like, fuck it, I'm just going to be dragged, whatever, blah, blah, blah. How do you deal with it when you deal with it?
I think it's about recognizing what is what. And that's why I think having the terms, like having a bias against yourself, is a helpful thing to have. Or like realizing that you're complying to a certain fear that has essentially been handed down to you generation after generation.
Mm.
I think that's why being educated on the stuff is so important as like a first step to being like, okay, so I'm trying to force myself into like being married by the time I'm 25. I need to be married by the time I'm 25. That's blah, blah, blah. Realizing that, oh, potentially that's like a patriarchal thing and men don't have the same fear as that. Or my mum also was married by the time she was 25. Well, my mum's not married. This is, you know, she's fundamentally disagrees with marriage.
Sophie, it's so brave of you to share this fear that you wanted to be married already. It's so brave.
By the time you're 25. Well, I decided to say 25 because I was going to say 30. And then it's like, oh, people will message being like, Sophie, you don't need to get married by 25. Yeah. It's like, guys, I never want to get married.
That just does sound real.
No one in my family is married. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think on my best days, most of the thing I can do is just recognizing why I have certain fears. Or like, I have fucking body dysmorphia. Okay, you can name it, you can see it, you can see its fucking ugly face, all of this shit. Like, I think that's pretty much, even on my best days, sometimes most of the thing I can do is just recognize why I have a specific thing, like why I'm trying to squeeze my morning into for all it's worth to produce as much. It's like,
yeah,
well, maybe you have that because you're fucking insecure and you want to prove to yourself you're like it. I think that's all you can do sometimes. What do you think?
I think sometimes when I'm like in my head about something, it's like I've got a whole scene in front of me, but I'm just like rewinding and playing the same like 2 seconds of it over and over again. I'm like, but what if what if they all hate me? And I keep saying that today. Please don't hate me, guys. But also, like, you might hate me. I guess it is what it is. Please don't. They're going to hate me. They're going to hate me. The fear of that. Oh, my God. Like, someone hates me. Someone hates me. They hate me. Just playing over that tiny detail. But it's play out the whole scene. Don't just play that 2 seconds. What happens if they did hate you? Everyone would hate me. I'd probably get a lot of horrible messages. I'd probably be about upset for a bit. I probably would, you know, I'd be crying. It would look like this. Like, I would be insecure. It would change Steffi and I's relationship. We would have a lot of conversations. I would talk about it with my friends. And then I would continue with my life.
Then life goes on.
And the thing that I had built up as this like 2 second clip that I kept forward, like rewinding, play again. It's like, if you just let that scene play through and watch the horrible ending, suddenly it's like, oh, that horrible ending is horrible. Hasn't happened yet. And if it does, it would be horrible. And then I can move on. And I think that's the biggest thing.
I literally love that. There was a thing a while ago that was like, I don't know, it was doing the rounds on the internet, but it was like, ride the wave of the emotion, like ride the wave of it. And I definitely think it's like a thing they would say in therapy. I don't know, just putting that in all the therapist's mouths. Maybe you'd want to use that in therapy, but it is really, I'd imagine that in a therapy room, it's kind of that kind of language, that you have a nasty thought, they all fucking hate me. If you actually ride that fucking wave and play out the whole thing, the wave fucking subsides and you're fucking on the beach and it's like, oh, okay. Like, the ending isn't I die. The ending is they hate me, or my life still looks the same.
And then you'll deal with other things, yeah.
My life still looks the fucking same.
Yeah.
Ride the wave out and it's fine. Surf it.
You still need to go to Tesco and pay your rent and get dressed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of Stranger Things is scarier when they don't show you the monster. Like, there's a key kind of trick when you're making a horror movie is don't reveal the monster straight away.
Don't because show it.
The fear is in like the unknown and the imagination of what it could be. So it's almost like if you don't just keep rewinding and playing that same scary bit where it's all fear and it's all like dread and oh no, and you let it play out and you get to the demon or the monster or whatever this horrible thing would be, then you kind of see it and you think, oh, the CGI wasn't that good, and like, oh, that's not really my kind of fear, or like, meh, whatever. It's like, yeah, they would all hate me and I'm sure I would find a way through it. It would be fucking shit. It would be horrible. It would make me feel bad about myself, and then I would carry on, hopefully.
I think with that idea of like replaying narratives, I definitely do that. I think that's such a human thing, or a thing that we've like learned to do. I don't fucking know what it is, but everyone I speak to is always doing that, replaying moments, embarrassing moments, things that have never happened
at like the 75% mark.
It's so weird.
It's always like the precipice of the fear and the horrible bit. It's like just before you fall. It's,
yeah, yeah, you leave it on a cliffhanger of your doom is fucking impending.
Yeah, it's, I need to stop myself from falling. It's like, but if you let it play out, you could see you're falling onto a fucking trampoline. Idiot.
So stupid, isn't it? I also have a thing with it where it's like, when I notice that I am replaying fictional future events, or like events that happened, embarrassing things, annoying things, things that seem unfair, I do a thing where I literally like pretend to like hold it in my hands. Ooh. And I like say like drop it, and I like drop it on the floor. Quite weird.
That's cool. Yeah, very weird, but I like it.
But like I'm like drop it, like drop the subject, drop the thing,
and it smashes and shatters on the floor.
And it's like you realize that you were just like holding on to this stupid thing. It's like drop it.
Ooh.
And I like pretend to drop the like the thing.
Nice and physical.
Quite weird.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't know when I started doing that.
Put that in therapy as well.
Yeah, they should really be taking note, therapists. Yeah. But it's like drop it, because it's not serving anyone. You've ridden the wave a million times and you don't like the ending.
Mm.
And the ending, even though it's fine, you're just replaying for the sake of itself. It basically is self-harm. It's just self-harm.
It's torture.
So you just drop it. Just drop the conversation.
Let it go.
Like, you actually are in control of that.
Mm.
Of your going over and over. It's like, fucking stop. Read a book. Go outside. Chill.
Wow. Bloody hell.
Okay. No, what has this been?
All right.
We were saying when we just took a break, we were like, are they feeling good? Like, are we like motivational speakers now?
Are you feeling good or are you feeling bad? Probably a bit of both. Yeah. I don't know. I hope that you're feeling good, but you're riding the wave with us, I think.
Yeah. Who knows how it will end?
No. Can we end it on a wholesome note?
Okay, yeah. I was thinking that with the wholesome thing.
Because I don't want to forget about that.
Mm.
The whole thing is generally quite wholesome, I think, within reason. There's a lot of talk about like death and stuff, but apart from that. Or just like a nice quote. What's a quote that you think sums up the app?
A quote? Oh God, I hate this bit. I hate this. I love it in theory, but it's so hard. It's like, and now I have to give the best quote, well, but it's like just...
Because you're putting your expectation. Yeah, let go of the pressure.
Oh, okay, right.
What's wholesome to you as well? Because I always think like, oh, I need to give them what they need to hear. It's like, shit, I don't know what they need. Like,
I know, that's what I'm doing.
All these individuals, I don't know. So what's good for you?
My thing is, with chaos and order and all of this stuff that we're talking about, there will always be something... Order. There will always be something that is stressful.
Uh-huh.
Your life will never look like this neat version you want. Realistically, if you could script out your life now up to 80, now up to your deathbed, whenever you die,
up to 100,
you can script that out and it plays out perfectly.
My nan's over the age of 80. That's why I don't like that as a threshold, because it kind of puts the fear in me.
I agree. So is mine. Let's move it to 105.
Can't we even say 120, just to be safe? Just anyone else's grandma might be
120 years old.
Yeah, 120.
If you could script it out, you would script out the most boring fucking thing.
So true.
Your life is going to be so much more exciting than your wildest dreams could script.
Mm.
Like, you're going to be like, okay, so I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, why are you limiting yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Let life take care of life. Like, it will play out.
So true.
In a fun way.
It's none of your business what the universe is up to. Let the universe handle the universe. Thank you very much.
You're not the fucking god here. Like, yeah. You don't get to be like, and she is gonna have this, and she's gonna get a dog,
mm-hmm.
Then she's gonna find her dream house. No, fuck you. Fuck you. Not fuck you. Fuck that. Fuck me. We don't know what's going on. Just fucking relax. There's always gonna be little stresses.
This is wholesome, is it? A quote.
A quote.
It's a whole passage.
I'm reading this.
No, but this is a crux and I love it.
This is the crux. This is the whole crux of the app for me.
Yeah, this is the crux.
There's always going to be shit outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
That is a given. I'm so sorry if that comes as news to you. There's always going to be a shit ton of stuff that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can control is...
Choose your words wisely. Well, we could critique anything, but just speak freely. Like,
the only thing you can control is that you have no control, and you can accept that or not.
Yeah, so true. Nicely done.
Oof. Did I pass the test of
very
is
true.
Everyone angry at the wholesome crux?
No, that's perfect. That's completely the wholesome crux.
What's it? Can you give a wholesome thing?
Fucking hell. We're fucking mental. No, that's completely the wholesome crux. I have to go before I say anything more embarrassing.
We'll be replaying that later. Oh God, the wholesome crux.
Let's go.
Like, what is the language on this podcast?
I don't even go there.
If I said that in a normal conversation, like, hey, could you just give me a wholesome crux?
No.
They would think we were mental. It only works in this context.
Oh, right.
Well, if you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.